This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. It is Tuesday, April 27th. You are listening to the College Football Daily. My name is Trey Scott. I'm joined right now by Ryan Burns, publisher of Gophers Illustrated for 24/7 Sports, covering Minnesota. Ryan, welcome to the College Football Daily for the first time. This is, unfortunately, we're not going to spend today talking about the Golden Gophers. We will get you back on at some point this summer. I'm sure everyone's saying, what sort of Minnesota angle do we have in store for the NFL draft episode today? And it's not going to be about Rashad Bateman either. Ryan, we're going to poke some holes in the Trey Lance narrative that's really been bothering you. And before we introduce that, I want to make sure we have the whole thing right. The big perception, the big narrative right now is that Minnesota was not interested in Trey Lance. And you are telling me that is not true.
Yeah, it is certainly not true. And I appreciate you having me on. So it's something to where, you know, especially living here in the state of Minnesota, you hear it on talk radio, you read it in the different publications like NFL.com about the Trey Lance recruiting story. You know, there's obviously some truth too. He didn't get a Power 5 offer. And now he's probably going to be going top 5, top 10 in the NFL draft. And it's like, how did NDSU get another one through that quarterback chain? So yeah, I'm happy to come on, talk some Trey Lance, because I remember seeing Trey Lance when he was 15, 16 years old as a sophomore at a Minnesota camp. So it's been a long time, you know, covering Trey. So I'm happy to try and set the narrative to what I remember it as.
Perfect. Okay. So he was a 3-star player in the class of 2018, and he's from Marshall, Minnesota. Is that close to Minneapolis?
Or no, Marshall, Minnesota is in far southwestern Minnesota. So he is a lot closer to the state of Iowa than he would be to Minneapolis, Minnesota, or the state of South Dakota. So I think Iowa City is actually a quicker drive from Marshall than it would be to Minneapolis.
Okay, so he could have been on the radar of any of those Big Ten or, you know, maybe an Iowa State program as well. And it sounds like he was on the radar. Like, if you watch Trey Lance when he was 15, Ryan, that means like he was good enough to be going to camps. He was good enough for you to remember watching him. What was the early buzz on this kid? And from what age, I guess, you already told us from 15 and on, you at least knew who he was.
Correct. And that's where I think the first time I was able to see Trey live was going into his junior season. So he was still a sophomore at the time. And he came to a Minnesota football camp, a Gopher football camp, that being. He had a teammate that was committed to Minnesota as an offensive lineman. His name was Blaze Andrews. So, and you get to know the families well, and they're like, well, you should take a look at this kid named Trey Lance. And he's going to be coming up and camping here with Blaze. And I can still remember watching, you know, Trey. He's probably at the time, like you said, 15, 16, 6'1", maybe 6'2", like 165 pounds. Yeah, he did play quarterback for Marshall as a sophomore, but he also played safety. And that's where, you know, and this at the time, I think an important thing to note here is at this camp, this is not PJ Fleck. PJ Fleck's not at Minnesota at this point. Tracy Clays is actually the head coach at the University of Minnesota at this time. Jerry Kill had to retire because of some medical issues. So it was the 1 year that Tracy Clays was in. That was the only time Trey Lance came and camped in Minnesota. So Trey then goes out, has a great junior year down at Marshall as the quarterback and as the safety. And then we kind of get into that prime recruiting season moment where it's the junior offseason before your senior year. And that's where Minnesota fires Tracy Clays in that time and hires PJ Fleck. And then we get into that junior offseason, like I said.
So Minnesota hires PJ Fleck and he goes about building his recruiting class. Where did Trey Lance factor into that equation? You know, Trey Lance went to North Dakota State. You know, it's not like he went to Iowa and it was just like, oh yeah, only Minnesota didn't offer him. But my understanding that Minnesota kind of already had zeroed in on a quarterback that PJ Fleck knew from his prior stop.
Yeah, and so the story is that Fleck had a quarterback committed at the time. His name was Brennan Armstrong. I believe he's the starting quarterback now at Virginia. I think he's one of the captains out there. And, you know, from what I've heard from the conversations that were, so Brennan was already committed. They got Trey Lance then on campus. And Fleck, frankly, just told him, like, I told Brennan, he's the only quarterback in this class. And that's kind of just the reality of it. So we're still going to recruit you. You know, we'd love to have you at camp this summer. But I made a promise to the Armstrong family that that was going to be the only quarterback that we took. And so Trey was, you know, Trey thinks he's a quarterback. He's obviously a quarterback. And it's like, okay, thank you. You know, I appreciate the honesty and everything, but, you know, I want to play quarterback. And so then time kind of progresses on. Then we get to that April Nike event that's referenced in that NFL.com piece where Trey was among the quarterbacks. They were at Hallis Hall in Chicago at the Nike Chicago camp. I was there at that event. You know, Trey wasn't among the best there. And that's not surprising to me because you have the small town kid from Marshall, Minnesota, who's competing in his first kind of bigger camp against a lot of these other higher profile names at the time. And, you know, I think he got a little wide eyed, and that's okay. And that's where, you know, Trey is about as nice of a kid as you come. And that's where after that event, you know, I remember talking to him at that event where Iowa wanted to get him on campus. I think Kansas State wanted to get him on campus. Minnesota wanted to get him to a camp. And that's where he made the decision that after that camp, you know, North Dakota State was already all in on him as a quarterback. They had told him that. And he decided that, yeah, I'm just going to go to NDSU. And that's where I want to be. And so that's where he didn't end up camping anywhere that summer before his senior year. His senior year plays out. And the only team to really come in at the end on Trey was Boise State. And I think it was 24, 48 hours before signing day that year, Boise State pulled the trigger on an offer. And I know the Lance family really never considered it because NDSU had been in there from the start that this is going to be our quarterback after Easton Stick, which for those of you who don't know who Easton Stick is, he, I believe, was a fourth round draft pick by the LA Chargers as a quarterback. So it's been quite a remarkable run for NDSU with their quarterbacks. But, you know, that's kind of the story is there certainly was opportunities at different points for a lot of different Power Fives to kind of move in on Trey Lance. But as he showed kind of at the end, once he committed to NDSU, I mean, that was going to be the deal is he was real with them. They were real with him. And that's kind of how the story goes.
Wow. Boise State has the all-time what if quarterback draft class here with Zach Wilson being a former Boise State commit. Ryan, when did you first like see or hear this Minnesota narrative that they didn't look at him as a quarterback, which is what a lot of stories are saying? And, you know, according to you, that's just like not true. Like they simply already had a quarterback committed, and it's not like Brennan Armstrong is a scrub. You mentioned it. He's a pretty good quarterback for Virginia. When did this first pop up to you?
I think it was kind of when Trey Lance had that incredible 2019 run where leads NDSU to an FCS title. I don't believe he threw a pick. And, you know, the stories start to come out that Minnesota only wanted him as a safety. And I'm like, who are you? And I'm just thinking to myself, I understand that if you don't believe the quote unquote Gophers guy, but if you believe that I know at least enough about what's going on, and I'd like to think that I do, it's like, did Minnesota want to potentially camp him at safety? I mean, yeah. I mean, he would have probably been quarterback and at safety, but he would have been that way at Iowa. He would have been. Minnesota wasn't the only school potentially looking at him at a different position because Trey is an outstanding athlete. Part of the reason he's such a great quarterback is his athletic ability and his ability to move around the pocket and different things like that. So, you know, kind of started as, well, the Gophers missed on another one, which, trust me, the Gophers have missed on enough in-state kids over the years that have gone to NDSU and become NFL draft picks. I get it. But, like, if we're going to just set the narrative straight here, you know, Minnesota wasn't the only school looking at him as a safety potentially. And that's where it's just kind of funny how it all works out, isn't it? Where not a single Power 5 school offers Trey Lance at whatever position, and now you're going to be looking at him on Thursday night becoming probably a top 10 NFL draft pick. I think it just kind of speaks to how it's such an inexact science, because I go back to that Hallis Hall Nike camp that I was at. I was there, a bunch of different talent evaluators were there, and Trey wasn't among the top 5 quarterbacks that day. And that's okay, because he, you know, his performance didn't dictate that. And that's where, you know, credit to Trey and credit to the NDSU coaches for getting the most out of his development. He has that one fantastic year there, and now it's kind of propelled him to where he's going to be on Thursday night, and you can't be happier for the kid. But you know, the narrative just about what actually happened versus, wow, Minnesota and all the other Big Ten schools missed out on another one. It's just, I think it's funny how once somebody says something, I think on the internet, everybody takes it as the truth. And then it kind of trickles its way back to the people higher up on the food chain. And it's like, how did this, where is this coming from? Because I know it's not coming from the Lances, and I know it's not coming from NDSU. So it's just kind of funny how things work out.
When I was in college at Texas, it was right around the time where the Longhorns were going through this QB wilderness after Colt McCoy. And it was the guys who they didn't offer were popping up as Heisman winners. Johnny Manziel, Robert Griffin III, Andrew Luck was in the mix. Obviously, he didn't win the Heisman, but he wasn't offered by Texas. And this stuff kind of takes on a life of its own. And it like absolutely was kind of cast a pall over the end of the Mac Brown era. Obviously, it's not that big of a deal here in Minnesota, but it does kind of remind me of this. Because my last question to you is, PJ Fleck, like, he's not the kind of guy, and really no coaches are. He's in a no-win situation here, Ryan. Like, he can't just quite come out and be like, yeah, actually, like, the Trey Lance narrative's false. Like, he's not going to even talk about it. But I could only imagine that it kind of drives that staff nuts.
It does. I mean, it's frustrating for them because, yeah, they know they missed. I mean, everybody knows they missed. Minnesota knows they missed. Iowa knows they missed. I mean, pick your Iowa State, whoever you want to, you know, kind of claim with that circle around Marshall, Minnesota within 5-10 hours of it. They all know they missed. And that's where, I mean, I'm sure, as you know, like, Texas would love to come out and, you know, say some different things about why they didn't offer XYZ recruit. And of course, hindsight's always 20/20. And that's where, as you know, I mean, working in this industry in recruiting rankings, it's not exact. No, I think we get better and better and better each year. And I think you see the results come to fruition starting, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, when you see what are the star rankings and who's drafted and who's not. And I think we're getting better at that. But it is frustrating because, I mean, it's even frustrating for someone like myself where, you know, I have to deal with, you know, the Gopher fans are just the miscellaneous casual college football fan here in Minnesota. Because like I said, the narrative on the talk radio here and in the papers is, you know, what everybody read on NFL.com or just Minnesota missed another one. Like, I get it. They did. But here is how it kind of actually happened versus what the narrative is out there. Like, is Minnesota, you know, to blame here? Is PJ Fleck to blame? I mean, you got a guy going in the top 10. It's not every day, especially for a Minnesota quarterback, that happens. And I think the funny part about it for me is you mentioned Zach Wilson. Now, Brendan Armstrong actually ended up decommitting from Minnesota late in the recruiting cycle. And Minnesota was looking at a couple different quarterbacks. And one of the guys that they offered was Zach Wilson, who at the time was committed to Boise State. And from what I remember about that recruitment was Minnesota, I think Iowa offered, and then BYU got in there as well. And Zach Wilson obviously ends up going to BYU, and now he's probably going to be the number two overall draft pick come this Thursday. So I think it's just kind of funny how things all work out.
That's why. It is funny when you start to look at these classes, like, specifically year by year, and how closely connected, like, 2 degrees of separation sometimes at most for a lot of these guys. Ryan, I said I asked my last question, but I do want to give you a chance to brag on the Gophers. Give me your dream NFL landing scenario for Rashad Bateman, and then we'll get you out of here.
I'm hoping Thursday night Rashad Bateman goes number 29 overall to the Green Bay Packers, because Aaron Rodgers has obviously still got another year or two left in him. And I look at the rest of that roster and I see that there isn't anybody else in the wide receiver room under contract for 2022. So Rashad would come in and have a chance to be the wide receiver 2 behind Davante Adams, chance to really learn from what I think is one of the best, if not the best, wide receiver in the NFL, and play with a quarterback that could utilize his skill set. I mean, to me, I really don't want to see him go to Miami. I don't really want to see him go to Baltimore. I think for him, the ideal scenario would have to be, you know, going to the Packers, playing for obviously a very good NFC team, a team that's got a chance at the Super Bowl, and a chance for him to kind of play with a quarterback that has proven that he can definitely get the ball out. So I'm hoping on Thursday we get to see Bateman go to Packers. I know that there's a lot of Minnesota fans that would obviously not like to see him go across the border to the Packers, and I get that. But I think being able to watch him be alongside Devontae, play with Aaron Rodgers, I think for seeing him production-wise, I think it would be an ideal scenario there. And so, and wherever even Trey Lance goes, I mean, Trey and his entire family were so, so good to me throughout the entire process. He's the nicest kid in the world. And for me, it's just, it's funny to see, like I said, that 15, 16 year old I saw as an underclassman in high school, or even at Hallis Hall at like 6'2", 170. Now he's 6'4", 200 pounds. I mean, it's crazy how development works. And, you know, I can't wait to see where Trey goes on Thursday, and the same thing goes for Bateman.
Yeah, I was yesterday on the College Football Daily. I was doing a little NFL thing with Kevin Boylard of CBS Sports. And like, I was stumping for Trey Lance, number three to the 49ers. So we'll see. I'm stumping for that. You're stumping for a Minnesota Golden Gophers player to go to the Green Bay Packers. So we'll see about all that. Ryan Burns, we appreciate you joining us and helping us clear up this Trey Lance narrative. I had only heard about it a few days ago, and now I'm kind of like obsessed with it. So I'm glad you're able to come on and talk to us. Our producer is Lance Glenn. My name is Trey Scott. Hope everyone has a great rest of their Tuesday. We'll talk to you on Wednesday for the next edition of the College Football Daily.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.